How is everyone? Excited? You know, when thanks Jared for that introduction. It's very stressful, you know. He say things like that. Suddenly, I feel like, wow, I'm so overwhelmed. You know, but I always say, you know, it's always a privilege to be able to serve God, to be able to be, you know, here up here to share God's word with you all. You know, the inspiration that God has given me over the past many years of my life that I can also share with you all as well. And I always believe that, you know, God is always very, very good, all right? So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Terrence, yeah? And for those of you who know me, it's still Terrence, no change, right? I'm the same old Terrence, okay? And if you don't know, right, actually, I just graduated from college, Holy Spirit Bible College, HSBC. And now I'm in university, all right? University of Bibliology. So I just changed my job from HSBC to UOB. Okay, so yeah. I'm a banker, all right? I'm a banker for the past 20 odd years. Okay, and when people ask me what do? I always tell them that I'm a licensed loan. Okay, actually, does commercial loans, right? So yeah, that's what I do basically, and in sales. So It's really, really an amazing journey, you know, that God has taken me over the past 20 years in the marketplace. And, you know, today I'm so glad to be able to stand here to share with you about our series, to continue on part two of our series, Marketplace Monsters. Okay, so today basically what I'm going to share with you is about fear, right? We go through different challenges in the marketplace. So why are we doing this series? Because, you know, as we go through, navigate the marketplace, right, we go through so many different challenges, correct, right? Whether you are business people, you know, whether you are employees, you know, we have challenges that we go through. And many a times, we don't realize that the biggest monster that we face, right, is actually in our hearts, okay? So today, this series actually is wants to help us to navigate these challenges, this space, right, so that we can actually, you know, overcome this internal battle, right, within us, so that we can be empowered to win the external battles, right? Okay, and this series actually is taken off Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and for those of you who know me, right, this is one of my favorite verses, Colossians chapter 3, 23, which says that, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Imagine, church, if one day, right, you receive a call in the morning and then they say that, okay, I'm calling from the palace, okay, the palace. And, you know, end of the month, the king is going to celebrate his birthday. And we want you to put on a show for the king. How would you do that? You know, how would you put on a show? You would definitely do your best, right? You won't think like, you know, the king, okay lah, I've done better, you know, so it's okay. I'll just go and do whatever. You won't do that, right? Correct or not? Because you're performing in front of the biggest guy, the biggest gun in the country, right? Correct or not? So what more, if let's say you do something as if unto God, not unto man. This is the King of Kings that we're talking about. So to me, right, I always say everything that we do that is in front of us, let us do it as if unto God and not unto man. And I can guarantee you that, you know, you will definitely do your best. Because whatever we do, right, we have different stakeholders to please, correct? We have our boss, our colleagues, our peers, the stakeholders and all the customers and things like that. And we cannot please everyone. But I tell you, church, if you do your best and you please God, I can, you know, give you the assurance that people will also be pleased. Because why? When God's favor is upon you, you will find the favor of people around you as well. Okay, and then the second verse, Proverbs 4:23, says here, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So everything starts from the heart, correct? You know, there's a saying that goes like this. Says, be careful of what you think, because it's going to be what you say. Yeah? Be careful of what you say, because eventually it's going to be what you do. And be careful of what you do, because eventually it's going to be who you are. Okay? I know it's longer. Those of you who know this word, these few words, right, it's actually longer, but this is my version, the shorter one. Okay? Be careful, because why? At the end of the day, right, people will see us, and it is actually the fruit of our heart, okay? So be on guard. Take care of, you know, your heart, and, you know, fill it with godly words, so that we will lead a life that, you know, signify and show who God is. All right? Okay, so again, this is a three-part series. First one, last week, Pastor Sean kicked off this series on toxic comparison, answering the question, am I enough? And today I will talk about fear fiend, trying to answer the question, will I have enough? And next week we're going to end the series with the greed goblin, all right? This is the greed goblin, not the green goblin from Marvel, okay? This is greed goblin from Marketplace series, okay? All right? Okay? So are you ready, church? Awesome. Let's pray before we begin, right? Lord, I just want to commit this time to your hands, you know, the sharing of your word. I pray, God, that you speak through me, Lord, into the hearts of your people. And pray, God, that as we go through this Marketplace series, Lord, we will learn how to put our eyes and focus upon you so that, Lord, we will be able to overcome all the challenges that we face, so Father, Lord, especially the biggest challenge, the condition of our heart, Lord. And we know, Lord, as we set our hearts on you, Father, we will be able to rise up and be winners in this Marketplace for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so fear fin, will I have enough? As we go through life, you know, we look at economic downturns, recessions, you know, pandemics. Sometimes we question, will I have enough to make ends meet? Correct? Sometimes we feel that, hey, will I have enough or not? And you know, sometimes this drives us. If you continue to think, will I have enough? It actually drives us to do something that, you know, we probably may end up regretting on hindsight. You know? So what can we do, you know, when we are faced with this question, will I have enough? And church, today I want to share with you a little bit from the Bible, right, on how to overcome this fear. Okay? And I always say the Bible is always the best instruction manual. I won't call it a book, right? Y'all know what Bible stands for, right? B-I-B-L-E. Stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. Okay? So if you don't know what to do in a situation, right, look at the basic instruction from the Bible, okay? So when we're faced with fears, okay, what can we do? Right, and I always say this, you know, before we try to overcome something, it's good for us to understand what that thing first, correct? So maybe what I can do is share with you a little bit, what is fear? Okay, what is fear? All of us know what fear is, correct? But scientifically, it has shown that fear is broken down into three basic types of fear. Okay, the first one is called rational fear. Okay, so what is rational fear? Rational fear is this: somebody points a gun at you. Okay? Points a gun at you. And you fear that you will be shot. That's rational fear. Because you can reason, correct? You can reason. Say, oh, there's a gun on my head. Now I fear that he's going to shoot me, and then I'm going to die. That's rational fear. The other one is probably, okay, I lost my job. Therefore, I might lose my home and I will be homeless. Okay? We can relate and we can reason. Okay? That's rational fear. That's the first fear. The second fear is irrational fear. How many of you are afraid of clowns? Okay, I see some hands. Okay, there's a term for it. Now I was actually doing research, right, for my message at the time, right? So I came across this. The fear of clowns is called chorophobia. Okay, the word phobia is a Greek word. The root word phobia is a Greek word from phobia, which means to fear. Okay, so it's chorophobia, which is fear of clowns. Okay, or maybe you're afraid of ghosts. Okay, there's a word for it as well. It's called phasmophobia. Okay, that's fear of ghosts. But you know the best thing is that I learned during my research, right? There's this word, right, which really intrigued me. You know, it's called bossophobia, fear of your boss. I said, wow, that is really irrational, man. Right? Okay. So sometimes we go to work and we see our boss, and suddenly we become afraid. So this is an actual word, you know, bossophobia, amazing, right? Amazing. And the third type of fear is called primal fear. Okay, these are innate fears that is already hardwired into us. And, you know, these are what we call the fear that helps us to stay alive. Okay, we know that, okay, this is poisonous. For example, a snake or the spider, if it bites you, you know, it's poisonous, bite you, become Spider-Man, all right? So then you can go and meet the Green Goblin. Okay, so these are what we call innate fears that is already in, hardwired into us. And of course, fear of spider is arachnophobia, right? And all those things. Snakes is, ophidiophobia. And cockroaches, catsaridophobia. There's a name for it as well. So I remember I had a friend, you know, tall guy, quite fit, muscular, you know. And one day it was Chinese New Year, we were sitting around the table, eating, drinking, having fun. And then suddenly, you know, the worst type of cockroaches are those that can fly. That's right. You know, they flew, you know. And you know what? The best thing about cockroaches is, right, they know your fear. So the cockroach choose to land on who, you know, land on my friend. Wow, I tell you, it was so funny. Imagine this big sized guy, right? He jumped up on the table and was, he was screaming like that. And I was like, excuse me, you know? So it's kind of funny, right? These are primal fears. And you know, church, we as humans, right, we like to relate ourselves to things that we are geared towards rational fear, because we always think that we can relate. We can reason. But you know what? Sad news to all of you. Research has shown that we are more geared towards irrational or primal fear. Let me give you an example. You're getting to go to office in the morning, right? And then you open the door, and then suddenly, you know, at the doorway, there's a snake there, a python, probably a baby one. And your first reaction was to scream, ah, snake! Snake! Oh, and then you run all over the place, you know? And you're just like, oh God, why do you let this happen to me? I need to go to office. There's a snake in front of me. I can't do it. So that's irrational fear. Because why? One part of your brain is afraid, and the other part of your brain don't know why. So you're a bit lost. So you see the snake, you scream, and then you go run around the house, you take a broomstick, you point at the snake, then you start talking to the snake. Go away! Go away! Right? In normal circumstances, we don't do things like that. Correct? But because of the irrational fear that we have, you know, we do things like this. Okay? And then the other one is probably, you know, when you see the snake, you are frightened, right? And then you don't know what to do. Then you call your boss. Boss, I cannot come to office. You know why? Because there is a snake in front of of my house and I can't go to office. Then your boss says, hey, Terrence, calm down. I don't care what is in front of your house, but you better be here because there's an important meeting. And I'm telling you because I'm your boss. Right? Then you, suddenly, what happens? You jump over the snake, you slam the door shut, run into your car, start the car, and you speed your way all the office. Okay? Fear. Correct? Fear of your boss. Bossophobia. Okay? So how many of you can relate to the first one or the second one? Right? You all can relate, right? I see some hands. Okay? Thanks for being honest. How about those who open the door, see the snake? It's just a python. Walks over, goes to the door, goes to work, you know, and hopes that by the time he comes back, the snake is not there anymore. Because non-poisonous, what is there to be afraid? Okay? So this is what we call rational fear. You're able to reason. How many of you are like this? Okay? I see a few. So, Pastor, maybe you need to pray for them, or they may be lying. No, I'm just joking. Okay? But this is what fear does to us, okay? So, it actually makes us do things that we normally don't do. Okay? So, what can fear do to us? What can fear do to us? Okay. Let me share with you a story. The story of a rich man. So, this guy is self-made millionaire, rags to riches story, you know, obviously Chinese, because 39th birthday, next week, he's turning 40. Yeah, and he said, oi, big four. Very bad luck. Oh. Say something, right? Four, Chinese four is die, right? Say something. Oh, wow, I'm going to turn 40, so better don't take big risks, you know. I went to go and then he wanted to know the fate of his life. Then he went and see a palm reader, right? Palm reader looks at his hand, whoa, whoo, yo. Of course, when you hear things like that, you get scared, right? Right? Imagine you go to the doctor, right? And then the doctor look at your medical report. Okay. So he asked, what, tell me, what happened? So the palm reader told him, you know what? You are very on to the point that you finish up using all your on, so you never live past 40. You never pass your 40th birthday. Of course, he panicked and asked, so how? He said, but if you can survive past your 40th birthday, all your on will come back double. Wow, he said, what shall I do? Okay, so come his 40th birthday, right? He locked himself in the room. He says, if I lie down on my bed and do nothing for the next 24 hours and pass my birthday, nothing happens to me. Correct? That's an awesome idea. So came his 40th birthday, his wife came and said, darling, you know, the kids and I want to celebrate your birthday. You know, come, let's go. He said, no, you don't disturb me. Here, take all the credit card you want. Go shopping, buy yourself whatever you want for the children and everything. Just leave me alone. Wife left, he locked the door, he just lie down on a bed. Lie down there. After a while, it gets a bit stuffy in the room, right? He went over and opened the window. He get some fresh air coming. And then he noticed, it was drizzling. Maybe my luck is changing. Good air coming in, right? Cool, warm, cool air coming in. So he went back and lie down a bit. And soon the drizzle began to start to rain. Then heavier. Then there was a thunderstorm. Lightning, thunder, strong wind blowing. And then suddenly the wind blow, bam! You know, the window hit the window sill, right? Hit, bam! So loud, right? He and then he died. You know, church, this is what actually happens, you know. When fear grips us, right, we actually lose control of our life to the point that we can actually literally lose our lives. You know, I actually read this psychologist who wrote this, you know. He says, this is what happens to your body when you fear or when you face anxiety, okay? Number one, your heart rate increases. How many of y'all got chased by dogs before, all right? Your heart rate increases, right? Oh, dog chase, oh. Then after that, your blood vessel thickens, you know. It constricts. Your blood vessel constricts. Then your respiratory rate increases, and your adrenaline picks up. Then after your body, right, is pushed into a fight or flight mode, and the organs can be affected, including your liver and pancreas. And since your body believes that you are prepared for a fight or to run, right, your muscles start to tighten. You know, all the muscles all come out. Next thing you know, your one barrel also can see six-pack already, okay? And then your prolonged fear and anxiety, right, often lead to chronic pain in your muscles. And fear even causes a metabolic response which affects things like your glucose level, which can increase your heart rate, disease, kidney disease, vision problems, and more, you know? And, you know, when your muscles tighten, right, you can even feel your hair stand. Yeah? That's how amazing it is, you know. So, you see, our psychological state, right, can change our physiological state. You know, prolonged stress on the body or fear or anxiety can cause many other physical symptoms and affect our long-term health to the point that it can even lead to death. Okay, so it happens. People actually get scared to death, right? You know, when we get chased by dogs at the time, right, our first response normally is to freeze, right? We freeze first. Because shock, ma. Freeze. And then what's the next thing that you do? You see the dog running, coming to you, right? So freezing is like rational fear. You know, you're trying to reason. What should I do? Correct? But when the time comes, right, you know you're running out of time, then it turns to irrational fear already. And you start to feel that, I gotta run! Then you run, correct? Then when you start running, right, you run already. Then you turn around, and suddenly you see the dog over here, right? Wow, this is when you freeze flight also cannot already, you know, primal fear sets in, you turn around, you fight, you one time kick the dog, right? You kick the dog flips over and thinking, why is he kicking me? I'm trying to have fun with him. I want to play with him. And then that's when the dog turns around and ngap, bite you one time. So you see, the reaction that we get from fear is actually quite, how to say it, when we think back on hindsight, it's quite funny, right? Because we think, it's wrong reaction, or wrong response, okay? So now we know there are three types of fear and what fear can do to us. Let's double back into fear in the marketplace. You know, the question of, will I have enough? You know, the fear of not knowing whether we'll have enough, okay, is actually very real, very, very real. And I'm sure everyone of you in this room have actually, you know, at one point of time in your life gone through it before. And when we start thinking about, will I have enough or not? It's actually a rational fear, because why? We are able to reason, right? We are able to think, you know, make a decision based on that, okay? So there's two things that we can do. First one, of course, obviously we take action. We take action and say that, okay, I'm not sure whether I have enough, let me work harder, okay? So that I can earn, to make sure that I can provide. But the other one is if you are constantly thinking, will I have enough, will I have enough, will I have enough, and you pound yourself again and again with this question, right, and do nothing, then that fear will become irrational fear. Because at this point of time, it crosses that threshold and becomes anxiety. You know, and when you get anxiety attacks, right, you end up doing things that you will regret later. Because why? You cannot think properly and you make bad decisions, you know. And, you know, church, today as we live in this world, correct, we live in this world, we live in an environment whereby we sometimes pounded by fear, you know, fear, whether you read news, social media, advertising and things like that. And there is a term that is called FOMO. How many of you have heard of this term before? Fear of missing out. Okay, so like very likely you guys are in advertising. Okay, because this was actually coined in 2004 by advertising agencies. Before that, it was Keeping Up with the Joneses. Have you all heard of this? Keeping Up with the Joneses, those of you? Yeah, okay, so I see a few hands. Okay, probably you're my dad's age. Okay, but you know, Keeping Up with the Joneses of Fear of Missing Out, right, was actually coined by marketing, it's a phenomenon, okay, created by marketing or advertising agencies to make people do things that they won't normally do. Like, for example, buying things that you don't need or acquiring more than you actually require. Let me give you a story. My brother-in-law, a couple of years ago, he told me, you know, one of his friends went to Tesco for shopping, right? You know, Tesco now is Lotus, right? So I remember in Tesco, every year during the festive, before the festive season, they would do some discounts and things like that. Right, and Chinese New Year, if you all remember, those of you who go to Tesco, Chinese New Year, they will always have this big discount on abalones, frozen abalones, right, about this size. Yeah? So they will discount it from probably a 5 ringgit 88 cents per piece to 4.88, 3.88, 2.88. Okay, this is not 288 ringgit, it's 2 ringgit 88 cents per piece. You know, and people will be like going crazy, you know, the freezer is there, and people just flock around the freezer, like so many people, and they were just grabbing whatever they can and putting it into the plastic bag. Okay, so my brother told me that one of his friends was shopping in Tesco then. And he saw this phenomenon. And he didn't know what was happening. He just saw that people were just like going crazy around a freezer and he can't even see what was inside. So he decided to join the fun, right? He took a plastic bag, he went there and he just put his hands, you know, it go between. It's cold, it's hot, I don't care, what's that, just grab, and then he just put inside, and then after that, he look at it, go and pay, and then, but what is this, huh? He don't even know that it's an abalone, right? But he bought it anyway. Then he went back, did some research, and found out, abalone. And the best part is, he don't even eat abalone. So, why? Right? Because we are driven by this fear of missing out, okay? Fear of missing out. And you know, some of you may laugh when you hear this story, you know, but you know, if you all think hard enough, right, go back today and check your house. Is there something in your house which you have bought that you don't need one? Or better still, you have bought it, until today you have not even touched it. So this is what the world is doing to us. It's pounding us with this fear, making us feel that we don't have enough, we don't have enough. That's why when the irrational fear sets in, the will I have enough will become, I don't have enough, okay? I don't have enough. And, you know, this this fear or this anxiety, right, you know, will push us and we'll end up in a place where we don't even realize, made a decision that we will regret later on, okay? So the question here is how to overcome fear. How to overcome fear. It's very simple. The first one, Proverbs 4:23, we read just now. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, church, everything starts from a heart. I said it just now, correct? You know, when we are so focused on the material things that are around us, we tend to get dissuaded. And then after that, we fall into the same trap as everyone else. Oh, my neighbor just bought a BMW. I must change my SLK. My small little Kancil, to a Mercedes, a real SLK. Oh, my neighbor just moved out from the old house, moved into a bigger house. I need to get that as well. You know, ladies, your boyfriend or fiancé proposed to you, half carat ring. Wow, go to your office early in the morning, even though it's raining and aircon full blast. So hot. It's so hot. Oh yeah, he proposed. Right? And then another colleague comes in. Oh, my boyfriend proposed 1 carat. Right? Correct or not? You know, this is what happens. You know, we start comparing and then we start thinking that, hey, cannot, I must get a bigger one. Then you go back and tell your fiancé, half carat, not enough. I want 2 carat. And then your boyfriend buy you 2 real carats. Yeah? Probably that's what I'll do because that's what I can afford. Right? So don't be dissuaded and don't be fall into that trap. Okay? Guard our hearts. You know, Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, so fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Yeah? It's not about the things, the material things that's around us that matters. Because when we fix our eyes on God, here it says, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Fix your eyes on things that are of God. And if you do that, I can tell you, you will lead a happier life. Much, much happier life. You will not be distraught. You will not be frustrated trying to get as much as you want, you know, so that I can have enough. Okay? And Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says that, do not be anxious about anything. Okay? Bible is not saying that, do not be anxious about something. Or do not be anxious about your work. Do not be anxious about your food. It's about anything. Anything means what? Anything means everything. Do not be anxious. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the amazing thing about our God. You know, when we rely on Him, when we trust in Him, this is where He will bring us to peace. He will ensure that we are taken care of. Okay? All right? So do not be anxious in everything. And you know, when the thanksgiving here is very important, the word thanksgiving here. Why? Because a lot of times we don't know how to thank God for what we have. Okay? I'm not asking you all to be contented to the point of not doing anything, but you know, we are contented to the point that, you know, we know what we have, but at the same time, growth continues. Okay, growth continues. So don't be sit down there, you know, and say, okay, this is what I have. I'm happy. You know, I'm not gonna do anything. I'm not gonna let anything affect me. That's not what contentment is about. All right, okay. And the last thing, as I close, right, I want to share this with you all. Okay, which is Psalms chapter 56, verse 3-4. It says here, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God. Whose word I praise, in God I trust. Okay, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Okay? So church, my encouragement to each and every one of you over here is that when you're afraid, you know, how do I make ends meet? I'm in this situation where it's so difficult. I'm in this situation where I'm struggling, I'm fighting. Put your trust in God. It says here, in God, I trust. And then you will realize that when you trust in the Lord, your will I have enough will turn to I will have enough. Yeah? Now, as I close, I just want to share a story with you about This is a personal experience which I actually went through, you know, and God is really amazing. You know, sometimes we don't even know or realize that, you know, we need to trust God, correct? Because in that spur, at the spur of the moment, right, your reaction or your thinking would be, you know, more focused towards that problem or that situation, right? So when I was still young, when I just started working, you know, when you first started working, your salary is not very high, correct? And in a month, if you have 2 weddings, 3 weddings, and 1 funeral, or 4 weddings and a funeral, yeah. By the mid of the month, right, wow, empty idea, right? You don't have salary. I mean, the obviously the company will not give you a salary in the middle of the month, correct? So it actually happened to me and my wife Priling, that time my ex-girlfriend. Right? Then we were courting. And I remember I went to pick her up from her house on the bike. Right? So we were picking her up on the bike and I was asking her, hey, how much you have in your purse? She said, I got a couple of dollars. I said, oh, I also got a couple of dollars. You know, and we're thinking, how are we going to have lunch? Right? We our bank account also dry already, pocket also dry already, you know, and it's the middle of the month. And, you know, you got another couple of more days, one week plus to go before the end of the month before you get your salary. And we were just thinking, you know, how to have... So we were riding to work, and then we reached the office, okay? Reached the office, still distraught a little bit. What we're going to have lunch with, right? Then we got down, went to our office, and you know what? One of our colleagues, he was so excited, he shouted at us, hey, check your account! Check your account! So he said, why? Why would we want to check our account? It's the middle of the month. The bank will not give us anything. He said, no, check your account. So we quickly went in, then we signed on, you know, to our system, and then we check our account. Wow, got a few hundred bucks inside there, you know. It's amazing, you know. And then we were thinking, what, where the money is coming from? Then we realized that, you know, during the course of our work, we actually, you know, have to sell credit cards to customers that walk in, right? And you know what? The bank, of all the days, choose to pay us the commission for the credit card on that day. And it was the one and only time, because they have never done that again. That one and only time. You know, and we were like, hallelujah! You know, we just really, you know, were stunned. We were really stunned. And you know what? This is how amazing our God is. Even before we actually ask, you know, ask God, you know, or complain. More often than not, we complain, right? God, right? You know, God already answered our prayer. And you know what? It's impossible for an organization, right, to change for 2%. Yeah? It's impossible. But to God, all things are possible. So I want to encourage all of your church today, in whatever situation that you're facing, trust in the Lord. Amen? Shall we pray? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father, we know that indeed you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and yet you are our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father who loves us. We know, oh God, that as we live through our life, navigating through this marketplace, Lord, there will be time when, you know, we will be faced with challenges, and we will struggle, feel anxious about, you know, what are we going to eat or whether we have enough and things like that. But we know, Lord Jesus, that as we put our trust in you, God, you will provide for us, Lord. And as we, you know, navigate through this marketplace, we know, Lord, that as we look to you and read your words, Lord, you will guide us and you will show us the way. And we just want to thank you, God, for all this amazing times, Lord, when we seek you, we find you, Lord. And we ask of you, Lord, you have actually given to us, oh God. And when we knock on the door, Lord, you have opened the door for us. And we just want to thank you, Lord, again and again for all this, Lord. And with this, oh God, we just want to continue to trust in you so that we can be bigger in life for you, Lord Jesus. We just want to thank you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen.